Well, it sounded like a great turnout in Trinity, but yeah, I think I got the longer straw because last week I was invited by Professor Peter Gallagher from Trinity College Dublin and the Irish Air Corps to join them on a mission that took us hundreds of miles over the ocean towards Greenland and into the path of totality. Casement Airfield, Baldonnell, 0500.
I'm going to give the general brief for the flight today. We all know about the route.
That's our captain, Kevin O'Kelly, or Lieutenant Colonel O'Kelly to you and me. He's the sort of person you'd want sitting next to you in an emergency and talks with the authority of someone who plans for things to go wrong just in case they do. 29 years in the Air Corps doing everything from flying Bertie's jet to peacekeeping missions in Chad, O'Kelly's your man.
However, of course, the great imponderable is the weather. Right overhead Iceland right now, there's a low pressure with associated weather fronts that sweep right down.
Which is good, because I was joining him and three scientists to fly a plane 3 hours out over the Atlantic Ocean, and then we were going to open the window.
We are going at 6 o'clock. We are going to board at 5:30, so you've got a bit of a chance to stretch your legs now, because it's going to be a long time sitting in the airplane.
6 hours, to be precise, all for just 3 minutes of darkness. We were going to photograph a total solar eclipse. And inside the airplane, Professor Peter Gallagher from Trinity College, the scientist who came up with this madcap idea 6 months ago, is getting a little twitchy.
Four holes, no spanners needed, no nothing.
That makes it an awful lot easier. Yeah, very good.
Well, it's up to yourself. We try today. I leave this to you to set up.
Well, all I got to do is attach this mount onto the board. Right, that's about it. Makes sense.
You look nervous, Peter.
I am nervous. You should have seen what we had speeds I had to do to get here.
Yeah, what time do you call this? This is your mission. You're like 45 minutes late.
It was a piece of solar filter that we had to pick up. Long story. It was stashed in my house in a book. We're here.
Fuel pumps 1 and 2 are on.
Expansers
are off.
Converters.
The CASA CN-235 is a beast of a machine used for patrol, search and rescue missions and emergency flights bringing donor organs into the country, for example. If you've ever been inside a cockpit, remember how many buttons there were? Double it. This baby is loaded with radar, thermal imaging, and a camera that can read a license plate from 10 kilometres. We're on a standard patrol that the Air Corps do to monitor our coastline with an added deviation for the scientific mission. And we have reserved seating in the sky. Here's O'Kelly again.
Out in oceanic airspace, because there's no radar, aircraft are separated by use of altitude and distance from each other. So to ensure that we can operate freely between 10 and 20,000 feet to get the optimum altitude for viewing the eclipse, we requested Shanwick Oceanic Airspace to reserve basically a three-dimensional block between 10 and 20,000 feet and for about 80 or 90 miles.
On board, I got a moment to speak to Peter about why we were all here. You see, the idea is to photograph the sun in total eclipse because when the power of the sun is blocked out, we get a fantastic view of the sun's atmosphere, which is 100 million times fainter than the sun. It's hoped that these images may solve one of solar science's big mysteries.
The sun is very weird. It almost breaks the laws of physics because the surface of the sun is about 6,000 degrees Kelvin. And then as you move away from a hot object, like you move away from a fireplace, it gets cooler, right? Well, on the sun, if you move away from the surface of the sun, it gets hotter.
So, huh?
Exactly. And that's the conundrum. As you move away from the heat source, the temperature rises. Which just doesn't make any sense at all. It almost sounds wrong. We do not understand why all stars, like our sun and our star, the sun, have atmospheres that are 2 million degrees Kelvin. We just don't know.
As we edged closer to our destination, it became clear weather may definitely be a problem.
Peter.
Yes.
Okay. We haven't reached that point number two for 0930 for totality, okay?
Yeah.
But there doesn't appear to be any way, if you reach it, that you're going to get a clear picture of the sun.
Okay.
Because there's cloud above us to our right.
Okay.
So what I propose to try and do is I'm going to recalculate to put us in that open patch of sky.
Okay.
The clouds are nearly unavoidable, and the captain now has to do some quick calculations to change course and see if he can somehow grab a patch of clear sky for those 3 minutes of totality, or else it's all been for nothing.
There's only one mark. If you get totality, it was right. If you don't, it's wrong.
It's a binary mark.
Yeah. We're looking, hopefully, to get out of this shadow of cloud. We're at 9:15 now. It looks to be about, what, 10 miles?
Yeah.
So we should, 3-4 minutes, we should get out of it.
Oh, come on, clouds. This looks good.
We're at Crescent. Can you peer up? Yeah, up and right. Now you're on it. There it is.
With an eclipse racing across the sky in just a couple of minutes to spare, the dying glow of the sun starts to fill the cabin. This is the sound of a total eclipse happening at 13,000 feet in the sky.
Is it on? Starting to turn. Peter?
Yes.
Peter, we're starting to turn.
Okay.
First comes the crescent of the disappearing sun.
Glasses on the right hand side. We're getting close to the diamond ring.
I'm getting a nice partial eclipse there. That is nearly totality.
Tell me when the sun is in the right place, Peter. We don't have an awful lot of time here now.
Okay.
Can we get all other conversation to a minimum, please?
Then the diamond ring. A circle of light with a shining rock at the edge.
Oh man, we got perfect blue sky all the way.
Well done. It's getting dark, guys. You guys in the cockpit, have a look out at the stars as well.
I'm watching the
clouds. Yeah, starting to see a few stars actually. I think they're north.
That's where you photograph.
Finally, the eerie intensity of totality.
Look at this!
The stars pop out from the sky, and it feels like nighttime. A perfect ring of white light shines out from the darkness, and it is breathtakingly beautiful.
That is incredible.
Wow! Totality! We got it! You son of a bitch!
Gone. There we go. Who's giggling like a girl?
That would be me.
That would be the cockpit area.
That is the fucking coolest thing.
Once the totality was clear, I went to find Peter. He was wheezing at the back of the plane, but not because of altitude sickness.
Well, happy? A bit out of breath because I've just been doing a dance down the back of the plane. I am absolutely ecstatic. I think we got data on all cameras. I think we got some spectacular data on the high resolution camera. So I'm off to the laptop to download it onto the laptop and see what we have. Hopefully it looks good.
Kevin, you must be delighted.
I'll tell you what, the adrenaline is pumping through the veins now. That is absolutely amazing. 29 years of flying and I've been all over the world. And that is without question the most amazing flight I've ever been on.
At 13,000 feet with the window wide open in a clear blue sky, Peter's team got a cracking view of the eclipse with specialist cameras that take pictures at very narrow wavelengths. In just 3 minutes, they captured hundreds of images, and Peter's hoping that the data that came from today's mission can help him figure out why the atmosphere of the sun is so hot.
I mean, this is, I'm just absolutely blown away by this. So this is a picture taken with the stabilized camera. And what I can see here is the moon completely blocking out the sun. And then I can see the solar corona, and it's extending out to about one solar radius above the sun. And so it's super hot gas, really hot hydrogen gas. And nearly all stars that we see at night have these coronae or atmospheres around them. And nobody knows why they are that temperature. If somebody can work that out, that is one of the biggest questions in solar physics to understand it.
But that was enough science for one day. It was time to celebrate. And as it happened, on this day of the solar eclipse, it was also Peter's birthday, his 42nd. Life, the universe, and everything had revealed itself. We ate chocolate cake and drank 21-year-old Teeling whiskey. For a solar physicist, it was a birthday that will be hard to beat.